Welcome in, everybody, to another, as I look ridiculous. Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host, Glenn Martin. And as always, DK in the background, keeping the show high and tight, like the haircut, keeping us in order, wrangling us in. But we're here, oddly, on a preview episode, Wednesday night preview edition of Thursday Night Football. The Ravens against the Cincinnati, what do you call them, Glenn? The
Pussycats.
Pussycats.
That's right.
There you go. The kitty cats, pussycats, the yep. Bungles, you gotta all of those things.
Emphasize the crew, just so you know.
when you but say Glenn, typically we start asking how one another are doing. I just was curious to know, what were you doing before we hopped on the show?
Yeah, well, you know, our friends over at the Cincy Jungle podcast, who we frequently had on, to help us prepare for an upcoming matchup, they invited me on, and so I had to bring the heat, dude. You know, I had to bring some energy to the pod. You know, I felt like when I jumped in, it was lacking a little juice. So I had, first and foremost, had to let them know that those people that they had on for previous matchups that weren't James or Glenn, they didn't bring it either. They came with that softball energy. So I had to come at them with the hardball stuff. I had to let the couple fans in the chat know that, look, they called me disrespectful to the kitty cats. That's fine. That's fine. But I can promise you this, that what the Ravens are going to do to them is going to be far more disrespectful. Okay.
Ooh, and I like it.
If they're looking to me to make them feel better about the pussycats, they're looking to the wrong guy.
So it sounds like we got Glenn at the end of the bar, not buttoned up Glenn at work.
No, dude, I came in fired up, bruh.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys want to check it out, DK has been gracious enough to drop the link to the episode in the description. So go add some comments post live. Get in there. Get in the chat. I know, or, you know, get in the comment section. I'm certainly going to go take a look at it. Man, that's awesome. I'm glad you did that. Showed out for the Ravens, man. That's what it's about, right?
And I got to be honest with you, Jimbo. They're scared of the Ravens, bro.
Yeah.
The fans and the hosts.
Talk to me.
Oh, shook up. I mean, they are shook right now. Like, I even stuck around a little bit to see what their predictions were. They're not picking their team to win.
Ooh.
They're picking a big old L. And in fact, one of the co-hosts said, I don't care what happens after this week, I don't want a third Ravens matchup. I don't want to see the Ravens until 2024. So not only, I mean, are they shook for this matchup? They don't want to see us in the playoffs. And I don't blame them, okay? Because we got their number, okay? And Joe Burrow and his fake swag is going to be going home early this year.
I love it. I tell you what, they're 5-5. I think it's wishful thinking that if they come out of this game 5-6, somehow they limp into the playoffs.
It's going to be a tall task, man.
You know what
AFC
I mean?
Because AFC is a beast.
Yeah, the AFC is an absolute monster. Now, I know, obviously, we know, if you guys haven't heard, Deshaun Watson, of course, is out for the season. So, yeah, thanks, Deshaun, for the last stick it to him to the Ravens and then say, I'm out of here.
Dude, how many painkillers did they have him juiced up on? To his eyes? He couldn't have
The crazy part is that all those painkillers, and it doesn't make him any less coherent than he normally is. He's the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear that they absolutely juice this guy to the gills to get him through this game. And look, we don't ever root for injuries. You never heard us on here rooting for a single injury of our opponent. But having said that, since it's already taken place, it couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Yeah, I mean really, if you're going to want an injury to happen to somebody,
you know,
the guy who is, you know, a serial sexual predator and the highest paid player in the NFL, like, I'm okay with, because it's a win-win, right? Like, he doesn't get any validation, any psychological validation that he can still play football because he's hurt. And the Bengals or the Browns are still cursed.
Yeah.
So, really, it just
And look, to the person in the chat that is continuing, we get it. You're a hater of John Harbaugh. We get it. We understand it. You don't like John Harbaugh. We get it. We get it, dude. You don't like him. We got it, man. Did you say it? Where was this guy last week, you know, when they were the darlings? Right. It's like they have one loss. All of a sudden, this guy is just funny. Goofball. All right, let's get into it, though.
Look, I say it all the time, really quickly. I say it all the time, Glenn. People that are, I don't know this guy personally. Look, I don't. But sometimes in relationships, you shouldn't be so quick to just pull the plug. Because it's not always easy to know what's on the other side. The grass ain't always greener. I mean, what are you going to hire Mike McDonald? You going to go where are you going to go?
I'm sure he's got a whole bunch of terrible ideas on who they would hire.
You know, how many teams have been through this, right? And then all of a sudden they end up in this carousel of coaching.
So goofy. Like, literally, look around the league. It's just a silly, just not smart fan comment is what that is. Now, again, all these guys, criticism is warranted.
Absolutely.
But to call Harbaugh a terrible coach is idiot. I mean, that's just idiocy right there. That's idiocy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I want to talk about this, Glenn. I think it's the best place to start, being that this is a short week. And I'll say it again. Go check out the link. Get in the comments section. Let's flood their comments, Ravens flock. Dude, I was literally about to say, por favor, please. Please flood their comments. But yeah, get at them. Shout out to Glenn for standing up, not only for Ravens flock, but also for 410 Sports Talk. Mm-hmm. But it's a short week, so injuries are a big deal this week. You know, being that it's truncated, talk to me. Let's talk about let's start with the Ravens. I know the Bengals got some big ones as well, but I mean, obviously the Ravens do. So let's get into it. DK, do we have a graphic for that by chance? If not, it's okay. I mean, we know the big names. If you can pull one up, we'll start with the big names. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, I did find it. I'm going to pull it up now. Ryan Mink tweeted out both of the injury reports, which is always convenient when you have both of them on there.
Ryan Mink, one of my favorite Ravens reporters.
Oh, yeah. He's a keeper. Yeah, he's a keeper. Super friendly.
Really quickly, interesting fact. You know, Ryan Mink got smashed in the face with a baseball bat when he was a kid, and he had to get reconstructive surgery right here on his face.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that.
He talked about it on the lounge once. Yeah. It was accidental. Okay. He didn't like purposefully get smashed in the face with a baseball bat. It was accidental. Anyway, well, pretty wild.
I saw a kid in Little League, same thing. But it was the ball hit him right in the face. And honestly, it messed me up a little bit. It shook me up.
Sorry that I'm laughing.
Because I was like, holy smokes, because he didn't get out of the way. Bow, right in the kisser. And I was like, dang, that can happen. That looks like absolutely no fun.
No.
But luckily, all my years of baseball. Actually, I did get hit in the face once sliding into second base. I was stealing second base. The catcher's throw comes into second. The second baseman or shortstop misses it, hits me right square in the chin and splits my gum all around the bottom there. And the woman who was at the sideline, she tried to give me orange slices when I came to the side.
Oh, not a good idea.
Into an open wound. Who is this lady talking about? Yeah, she's trying to just put salt in the wound. But all right, so let's get into the injury report. I have them on the screen here. Can you see them okay?
Yeah, can you just zoom in a touch? Maybe I'm blind. There we go. It's perfect.
Okay.
All right, perfect.
Let me see if I can get an E. Oh, too far.
Okay, yep, too far.
A little too far. Let me see if I can tone this back. There we go. All right, so we'll start with the good guys. As you can see, Devin Duvernay, limited participant Tuesday, did not participate on Wednesday, is listed as questionable. So I'm going to start with a question there, Jimbo. Is, if he's not out there, if he's not able to go, is our kick returner Justice Hill or Keaton Mitchell?
Keaton Mitchell! Let's go! I mean, I think so, right?
I mean, he's not the primary backup as far as like the depth chart. It's Justice, but why not Keaton, right?
Yeah. I mean, I want to see this kid shoot out of a cannon, you know, in this scenario. Now, I'll say this. As fun as it's been to watch Keaton, I have much more faith in Duvernay. Not like I want him to replace him. My preference would still be that Duvernay's out there. But in the instance that he's not, like, I don't want people to think I'm going crazy, right? But in the instance that he's not, he's unable to go, you know, it'd be fun and exciting to watch him back there, you know, with an opportunity to do something with the football. So, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Now, what about punt returner?
Yeah, I know. Running back at both of them. I don't like running back there because of the hand. You know what I'm right? That always makes me nervous. You get a running back there.
Mm-hmm.
Running back or James Prochet, just not a good idea.
No, yeah, definitely not
James. You know? Prochet. Yeah. Oh, poor James. So
one has a lot more experience, right? Justice Hill has been in the league a lot longer, called a lot more punts.
Has he?
In practice.
I guess in practice, yeah.
Do you care?
Somebody in the comments says put Zay out there. I'm all right with that.
He did catch the one punt. He can certainly do it, but they're going to be reliant on him as a receiver. But yeah, if you just need a guy who you can guarantee will catch it, I'm fine with Zay being back there.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, job number one, just catch the dang football.
A little different than a kick returner. So yeah, I certainly agree. All right, Marlon Humphrey, he's not playing. I don't care what doubtful they have listed. No chance he plays. I'll be shocked if we see him next Sunday against the Chargers. Good news is Morgan Moses practiced in full. He's on track to play, so at least we won't be without both our starting tackles.
Yep.
Just the one that you see listed out already in Ronnie Stanley. Good news is John Simpson had an illness slash shoulder injury that kept him out Tuesday, back to full participation Wednesday. So we won't have to see Ben Cleveland also at left guard.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm okay with that. We'll wait on Ben Cleveland for a later date or in another uniform.
Well, either that or he could do the Ben Powers, you know, come out of nowhere and turn into a player.
Like
and
next year paid. When Zeitler is, I mean, if Zeitler's gone.
Yeah, could be.
Because this is like Zeitler's last year, right? They haven't.
It is, and they have not extended him. Yeah. But we'll kind of see how all that goes. But yeah, I'm glad we don't have to watch him
not this
try
week.
And play this week. But yeah, the other guys look like they're on track to play with Van Noy and Worley both getting in full sessions on Wednesday. Now let's get into them, Jimbo.
Yeah.
The good news is Sam Hubbard and T. Higgins have already been ruled out.
You're like, good news is.
Yeah, for the good guys, that they've already been ruled out, which makes the job a lot easier. The interesting one here is Trey Hendrickson. It seems like it was a long shot before the week started that he'd be able to play with the hyperextended knee. But with a full participation in Wednesday, I mean, I'm expecting him to play. Now,
this is the only thing I'll say. Right. That's what you're going to say. Go ahead.
No, go. I mean, it's like, what percentage are we getting of training?
That's what I was going to say, too, because a full participant on Wednesday is like, it's a glorified walkthrough.
It's like a Friday participation.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, whoop-de-doo. You know, like, what does that actually mean? And the other thing I'll say, too, is that if I'm not mistaken, am I understanding this right? Let's see. We played them in week two. For some reason, I feel like McCary was out there.
Oh, McCary was our starting left tackle and absolutely wore Trey Hendrickson out.
Okay, wait a second. Ronnie just wasn't ready to go yet, right?
Remember Ronnie wasn't ready to go, so.
Right, okay. So I am remembering this correctly, and I'm not going crazy. Yes. Yeah. So that you know, being that he's going to be hobbled to some extent and that McCary has experience dealing with this guy, I feel all right about it. I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like we're at a major disadvantage. So, like you said, a huge deal for them not having Sam Hubbard and then also Hendrickson being some sort of compromise. T. Higgins, we talked about this. It's crazy. It was last night, like 24 hours ago. That's a big blow for them, in my opinion, because the Ravens have been able to bottle up Jamar Chase to a certain extent, even, you know, since he's really been a Bengal playing against the Ravens, like I said, to a certain extent. And so T was the one that did damage last game. So he's another guy that's not going to be out there. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah. And with his size, it's a mismatch in the red zone.
Yeah.
And that's the area I think the Ravens defense will hopefully be able to hold and make these guys kick field goals without T Higgins in there being that big target. That's a big boost for the Ravens. Now, somebody in the chat saying that that Marlon looked fine in his podcast, but you know, was he running?
He did look fine.
I don't think he's going to be out there. But the good thing is, it does look like he'll be out there. Hopefully, when it matters most, when playoff time comes around. But everybody else on their injury report looks like they're in line to play. DJ Reader will be out there. Awuzie, Taylor Britt, all those
really,
guys.
It was really funny because they were talking about, I did see the clip where Marlo and PQ were talking about Kenyon Drake tweeted. And I didn't really understand the tweet because I'm really not cool enough.
Yeah, I looked and I was like, I don't get it. I'm stupid. I'm not cool.
Like, I don't understand. Let's see.
I saw he was asking for somebody that can do braids in Cleveland today. I guess he needs to get his hair done or somebody.
Wait, is he not on the Ravens anymore?
Drake? No, he's on the Browns.
Oh, shoot. You're right. Yeah.
He's
said,
a Brownie.
Oh, geez. What did he say? Anyway, my point was this. I thought it was funny because PQ said he's got Twitter fingers. And I was like, I was like, man, I just felt bad that he's blocked us, you know?
Yeah, because you can shout him out.
Yeah, sorry, Pat.
Was Kenyon Drake talking? He didn't even play.
Oh, yeah, in your trap and take over your trap.
He didn't even play.
That's the first thing Marlo said. He was like, did he even play? Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's an awful bold statement for a guy who probably wasn't even listed as an active participant.
Yeah. How did I sound saying that? Did I sound cool?
Try it again.
Walk in your trap and take over your trap.
Dude, so cool.
So cool, bro.
Dude, so cool.
Walk
dude.
In your trap, son. No idea what that meant before tonight.
You did good, bro. Dude. I mean, yeah, and that is hilarious. Practice squad players popping off is absolutely laughable.
They won their Super Bowl. Shout out to the Brownies.
I guess so. Party's over. Back to
reality.
That's
what I was going to say. They got the rest of the season off. Might as well go to the offseason.
Dude, here's the craziest thing. I just saw that this morning. You know who was their backup quarterback all through training camp and was traded right at the end?
Oh, yeah. Josh Dobbs, dude. They traded him for like a fifth rounder.
How would he look right? How's he doing right now for the Vikings?
Crazy.
Like, what a absolute blunder. Because he could have saved their season. But PJ Walker, I don't think, can do the same. And neither can Dorian Thompson Robinson.
No, yeah. No, can't absolutely. But all that being said, the Bengals have issues, right?
You got to say it faster, Jimbo. That was the only problem.
Oh.
You didn't say it fast enough.
Wait, okay? Can I try again?
Yeah, try again. Just
wait. Now I lost the. Okay. So, walk in your trap and take over your trap.
There you go. There it is. Oh, man. Okay.
All right. I'm done embarrassing myself for the night. My wife would be embarrassed to be sitting next to me right now. All right. So, next one's on you, Glenny boy.
All right. Well, let's get into some of the numbers here as we like to go to after we talk who's playing, who's not. So, I'll start with the Cincinnati defense. Currently, the season, they rank 16th in the league, giving up 21.3 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of interesting. 30th in yards per game allowed, giving up 384. They are 26th in the league in opponent third down conversion percent. They allow opponents to convert third downs at a rate of 43.1%. Let's see. Rushing yards per game, they're 30th, Jimbo. Foreshadowing here. Mm-hmm. They give up 136 yards per game on the ground. And keep in mind, they are without one of their edge guys, and the other one is pretty beat up. And so they're already 30th in the league with those guys. And then opponents passing yards per game, they're 25th. They give up 247 passing yards per game. So, Jimbo, I mean, this is not what I was expecting from the defense. We both, I think, expected them to take a dip, losing their stud safeties in the same offseason, which I think they covered up a lot.
Yep.
But I didn't think they would drop this far in production, especially because they still have what I think is a pretty good roster and made some nice replacements for those guys, getting Dax Hill. So are you shocked to hear those numbers that they're the bottom three in some categories defensively?
Am I shocked to hear about the Bengals being bad at something? No. No, I'm not shocked. I mean, they are who they thought they were. They are who – how does that go? They are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
There you go. No, I think part of defense – we've talked about this before, like when it comes to the Bills and the running game – part of defense is a organizational commitment. And I think once you have this, I'm using air quotes, prolific, high-flying offense, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe some of that commitment organizationally to the defense goes away to a certain extent. I think we saw that in the offseason. You talked about it. They let both their safeties walk.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got some guys banged up. I guess I'm surprised because their DC was getting some head coaching interviews, right? So you would think, okay, well, he's getting head coaching interviews. Probably means he's got some good numbers, guys. You know, he's got good units, stuff like that. And he's had moments, obviously, but I'm excited about the opportunity to get at this secondary for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I'm not surprised is what I would say. I mean, look, they're a 5-5 football team. Glenn, if you remove Cincinnati Bengals, if you remove Joe Burrow, they're 5-4, DK, is what you just said?
Yeah.
5-4. The Bills are 5-5, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
So, but my point is that this is a relatively average football team right now, right? Based on the record, like you are what your record says you are, period. So, yep. So I think that, with all that being said, I'm not too surprised. Now talk to me offensively though, Glenn, or, you know, you already brought up some names, but what I want to know is how you think the Ravens are looking at this defense and going at them, right? Like, what do you think that the Ravens sitting in there going in their film with the clicker and like, okay, how are we going to expose this defense?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the first place it starts is on the ground. They are a bottom three run defense, and you can't. I mean, look, the Ravens are number one, and they're bottom three defending it. So that's got to be the place you start. You got to be effective on the ground. That doesn't mean, you know, you go to that's your only way of attacking, because I do expect them at some point to load the box with eight or nine defenders and force us to make a play on the outside. And to this point, except for the Bengals or the Browns second half, they've been able to do that. They've used the quick pass to Odell Beckham Jr. You know, we've seen that to Zay Flowers. We've seen to a lot of guys. And so I do think at some point in the game, they're going to challenge the Ravens outside players. And let's hope that they can do what they've been doing so far, and that's win those one-on-one battles and do just enough to get it done. But also what I'm hoping we'll see this week is them connect on a deep ball, Jimbo. We've seen some attempts, but all these attempts are going right over the outstretched arms of our receiver. And so they've got to do a better job of when they take their shots, hitting them. I mean, I always said, take your shot even if you're not hitting them, because at least showing that you're willing to try will back the defense off. But I've moved on from that. I needed them to hit some, Jimbo. I mean, holy smokes, if we just hit one or two of these, not only does it help us this game, but it helps us going forward for what defensive coordinators have to prepare for. So I absolutely think it's going to start with the run attack, but then we're going to have to find our hot receiver when they load the box and dare us to throw. And then when we do get the opportunity to challenge them down the field, we got to hit, or at least give our receiver an opportunity to hit, because we've seen it countless times. I'd rather at this point be an underthrow than an overthrow, because half the underthrows end up being horrible penalty calls anyway, where the defender just gets absolutely screwed. So look, just give your guy a shot, Lamar. Please don't throw it out of bounds. Don't throw it, you know, outside of his reach. And I think we'll be okay, Jimbo.
No, I like it. What's your offensive key to the game?
Yeah, so let's see here. You know what's surprising? Having said all that I just said about how, you know, the Ravens need to hit on some of these big plays.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that right now, I'm trying to find it because it was on somebody's Twitter, and I'm trying to track it down. The Ravens lead the league in big plays. And most people would say, what? It's got to be the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins lead the league. No, in fact, here we go. Most big plays through this point. The Ravens have 74 big plays on the year. The Dolphins are second with 72, and the Niners tied with 72. Now, what's a big play? A big play is a run over 10 yards or a catch over 20 yards. So is that surprise? Like, would you have guessed if I asked you to guess who leads the league in big plays? Would you have guessed it was the Ravens?
No, I wouldn't. And part of that would just be because in my mind, I think of, just like you said, some of the big play overthrows. But all that being said, I mean, we've if you think about all the stuff on the ground, and you think about basically every time Mark Andrews catches the football, it qualifies as a big play.
20 yarder.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So that is surprising until you really get a good, you know, you give it a good think and take a look at it. That's awesome. But I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, they need to take advantage of this defense and hit him with, you know, hit him in the mouth a couple of times with some big plays. That's definitely crucial. But
that wasn't my key.
No, that's not your key.
I was just sharing that because I thought it was such a cool stat, and here it is. Okay, I hit stop share. You know, I'm just... All right, you get the point. They lead the league in big plays. I'm not going to pull it back up. But my key to the game, I feel like we live and die, and Cole said it best, you know, with our offensive line. And if they play well, no matter who's in there, we tend to play well offensively. And if they don't, we tend to struggle. So my key to the game is that the offensive line must be a strength in both the run and pass. And people are, well, you don't have Stanley. Well, we didn't have Stanley in week two when McCary absolutely wore Hendrickson out, like completely dominated him. So even with McCary at left tackle and everyone else in their correct spots, I feel like this should be a strength for us going up against their D-line. They're banged up. And yeah, they got a big slobber knocker inside and DJ Reader, but we're healthy on the interior. So bring it on. And so I think our offensive line, we have to come out of this game thinking our offensive line was a strength for us in that game. And so that's my key to the game. My breakout player is Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman is creating so much separation. It's nauseating. If you guys watch any film breakdown, persons that you like, I mean, I would always suggest Cole Jackson because I think he's the best in the business. The amount of separation that Bateman is getting and not always getting the target to highlight it is absolutely insane. And so I think that while the defense is going to focus on OBJ being our blitz, you know, beater and our one-on-one guy, I think we flip the script, we focus it on Bateman, and Bateman is our leading receiver this week.
Oh, I like that. I like both your key and your player. Mm-hmm. Ravens O's Nation said took off work for this game. Let's get a win, please. Dude, I love the dedication. I love it. I always consider just calling in a few days out of the year, just not calling in, but like, you know, putting it in my PTO calendar, requesting the PTO as soon as the draft day, you know, as soon as we know draft day, the following day, any Thursday night games the following day, and the day after the Super Bowl, just in case.
Yep.
You know, I never do it. But shout out to you, Ravens O's Nation, for being committed enough to say, hey, boss, I ain't coming into my. And it is what it is. That's awesome, it. Man. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your evening and enjoy your long weekend. But I really like your key to the game. I really like your player that you picked as your breakout player, Rashad Bateman. And I also agree with you on the synopsis in that this offensive line really needs to take advantage of their defense. Everyone can talk about Ronnie being out, but we still have, you know, with Moses coming back, 4 out of 5 of our starters are healthy. And I think on a lot of teams, McCary's a starter. I think on a lot of football, McCary's a top five, you know, a top five for whether, you know, they play him at guard. I don't know if he'd be a tackle on every single team, but he would make his way onto a starting roster, I think, on a lot of football teams.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Raven in the chat. Shout out. Ew, appreciate you jumping in here.
Certainly on the Giants, who just take old Ravens, you know, Ben Bredesen and Tyree Phillips, they would certainly love to have the crown jewel in McCary, but the Ravens locked him up. All that being said, I think that using your key to the game, the Ravens can then execute on mine, right? Like be a strength in the offensive line from a passing perspective and really push the secondary to stand up and stop this passing attack. Lamar Jackson has been dropping it in a bucket a lot this year and has really shown that he's improved as a passer downfield. So, you know, a lot of times, and this is funny because this is contrary to my default method, my default thinking when it comes to football, because I like, you know, young Ravens, I think, you know, when I was a kid, I think of Jamal Lewis. I think of Priest Holmes. I think of LaRon McClain. I think of Ray Wright. Like, these were the guys I was raised watching. Willis McGahee, things like that. Ozzie Newsome would always say, you know, John, would always say, stop the run, run the football, right? So, like, I feel like in this game in particular, I think it's the way that you get up on them is you attack this secondary. I don't think they're very good. I don't think they're very convicted. And I don't think they're very confident. So I think they need to get at this secondary. Now, all that being said, my breakout player, and solely because, not solely, but certainly a lot based on what you said with the offensive line, is going to be Keaton Mitchell. I think Keaton Mitchell is going to get the rock. One of our over-unders has to do with Keaton Mitchell. And that was a tough one for me. But I think that even if I go with the under, which I did, you guys will see it later, I think it's still enough for him to be the breakout player in this game. I think he has a number of plays that are categorized as big plays based on what you mentioned. So I'm going Keaton Mitchell here, Glenn.
I like it, dude. I think Ravens fans will absolutely have a fit if we don't see this guy, you know, have a huge increase in his touches. And it's not even like it's like one of those things like it just makes too much sense to get this guy the element he brings. We've been missing that element. There's no doubt about it. So let's see what the young guy's got. Now, if he's out there and he's blowing his pass protection assignments, then we may have to make an in-game change. But let's let that happen before we pull him out. Let's not just keep him on the sideline thinking, what if it did happen? Yeah. I think that was their concern last week. Let's let this guy go out there. He's never shown any glimpses that he can't handle the responsibility to this point. So let's let at least show he can't do it before we just put him on the sideline.
Glenn, as a resident fantasy expert, why don't you give Ravens win 16 some advice here?
Don't do it. Do not bench Mostert. He leads the league in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I would not do that either.
As much as I like Keaton Mitchell.
Right, and as much it's hard because you know you're emotional about being a Ravens fan. You know, Ravens win, but...
Yeah.
The hard thing about starting any, well, maybe not Gus, but it's just the rotation. It's just feast and famine. And even when all of them do okay, they just do okay. There's no bell cow, right? Like Gus can get two.
Gus is getting all the goal line work.
Right. But it's hard because if he doesn't get the goal line work, he's not getting the volume.
Yeah.
You know,
now Keaton could, having said that, Keaton could pop a 60-yard run for a touchdown and sprinkle in another couple stuff. So he could. But I'm not benching Mostert, who leads the league in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I was thinking about that play he had, that long touchdown he had in the Browns game. When he planted and cut to the left, didn't that make you think of, now that I've watched it a couple times, remember the hey diddle diddle Ray Rice up the middle? When Ray got, I don't know, I guess it was probably Eric Weddle. I don't know. Actually.
Yeah, Eric Weddle got destroyed by
Anquan but it Holden. Was before that, the defenders that were bearing down on him. And man, he hit that. You know, that right foot planted, he boom, you know, cut to the left, and those guys' hips had to turn to like open up, and he was like, I'm out of here, dude. You know, ended up cutting up the field. Man, that was an awesome play. Still in the Keaton Mitchell play. But
that was a classic example of you can't focus on the result on whether that was a good decision. Because I don't care what anyone says, that was a bad move by Joe Flacco to dump the ball down three yards beyond the line of scrimmage on fourth and 29. And just because it worked out does not mean that was the right decision. And I'll always say that.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. All that being said, Keaton Mitchell not break out.
Darnell's trying to be rude to you, dude. He said you cough too damn much.
Yeah, I do. I cough a lot.
He's got something going on, man. He's trying to get it treated.
I just went through a whole round of steroids. But hey, Darnell. You want to meet me outside tomorrow morning? I'll be out at 5:30.
That's right.
You want to hit me for 10 miles? Let's do it. Then let's see who's coughing and choking.
Try and keep up.
Let's see who's coughing and choking, Darnell.
That's right. You let them know. You let them know.
While you're in your bed, your boy's working.
That's right. Talking to an athlete.
That's right. You see this cup right here?
That's right. I can't really tell what it is because the graphic on your green screen is just destroying it. Okay. So. Really did you cool just cup. Spit? Did you just backwash back into your own cup?
No. It was because I got in here, lemon water, like some agave. So it was just a lemon seed. I just shot back in the cup. I'm not that gross. Quickly, Glenn. Honest question.
Yeah, let me hear it.
As a father, have you ever, when you're like my son, always. He drinks his cup, and like sometimes I'll watch him drinking his water, and I'll watch the freaking backwash just go into the cup. You know, he's a little kid, right? He's just learning how to use the cup, whatever. Dude, I have accidentally just like pounded his water. And I'm like, oh, that was, you know, have you ever accidentally like back in the day when Cam was little, it was like two, just knowing that was a ton of backwash?
Look, I'll be honest with you. That stuff never bothered me, only with my son. My son. Now, I will say this. If they're eating and drinking, that's a no-go because there's always food particles in their drink. But if he just comes over.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That scenario.
Oh, the food particles?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's vile. Mistakes were made, bruh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happens. Hey, Darnell, he don't want to fight you.
No.
He don't want to fight you. He wants to run with you.
Hey, look, if you're a Golden Glove boxer, you should be able to keep up. You should have plenty of cardio. Yeah, let's do it.
Can you run a sub 7-minute mile for a half marathon?
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it, my man. I'll be right here in the corner.
That's right. Find him in the city.
That's right. I'm the only other people that are up with me are the people that haven't fallen asleep yet. And they're usually walking around intoxicated.
Uh-huh.
Or the Amazon delivery drivers. That's it. And the restaurant workers, you know, like that are getting up way early.
What restaurant workers need to be that early?
Like breakfast, you know, like breakfast places, like some breakfast spots around here and stuff like that that open at like 6-7, you know.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into their offense versus our defense, Jimbo.
Let's do it.
This is a
just as exciting of a matchup, right?
I mean, look, this is a game where if you guys watched Roquan Smith's press conference, you can just tell he's so over that game. He was doing the on to Cincinnati stuff, Jimbo. Like he was so irritated at what happened last game. And I think he's just kind of a messenger for the whole defense. I got a feeling that they all kind of, I mean, look, he went, what, 14 for 14 in the second half, Deshaun Watson did, with a broken bone in his shoulder. Like, they got to be sick to their stomach. And so I think it's going to be a motivated group coming in here to take on the Bengals. But let me tell you a little something about their offense, all right? So offensively, the Bengals come in with the 20th ranked offense, scoring just over 20 points per game. Let's see, yards per game, they're 24th. 301 yards per game. Rushing yards, they're 32nd. They only average 74.8 rushing yards on the ground per game. And then,
well, look who their running back is, Glenn. I mean, are you surprised?
I mean, I know you're not. I know you're absolutely not surprised.
Him and Najee are the most overrated running backs. Oh my gosh. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Passing yards, they're 16th, 227 yards per game. So even, you know, when I talked about their defense, I can say the same about their offense. Like, I was expecting way more from this offense. And I know Burrow's had some injury concerns, but for the vast majority of the season, he's been out there, he's been playing. And when you're out there, I can only hold you to your standard when you're out there, because you say you're healthy enough to play, you play.
Right. Right.
This is disappointing. I mean, they're the bottom third and sometimes worse in virtually every statistical category. Well,
hey.
Oh, man, sorry. You're going to piss off the Gold Glover. He's going to beat the shit out of you.
He's going to come jump through the screen. Surprised, but not surprised. Certainly about the running stuff. Not surprised. I mean, there's no commitment to it for the most part. And their running back isn't that good. They've also been banged up on the offensive line throughout the season, haven't they? I think, if I'm not mistaken, they've had some inconsistencies there at the offensive line. But no excuses. Look, Bengals. Let's just say it, Glenn. Like, the Bengals have been everyone's, like, like I said it before, you know, Joe Burrow's been getting the Kevin Durant pass, like, when he was in OKC for a while, right? But if you look at this team, they're very much like Oklahoma City, and that, like, they've been everyone's, like, darling, like, waiting for all of this to come together, and it ain't happening. They're just not that good. Like, they're just not that good.
I love it.
I don't know what else to say. They're just not great. They're 5-4 by the skin of their teeth, and they're not that great. Yeah, they destroyed the Cardinals. Whoop-de-doo. It made the back page of the news.
Well, DK does bring up a pretty interesting point here, Jimbo. They are number one in the league in offensive penalties.
Yeah, and they have the highest paid quarterback. Interesting. Interesting.
Has he been passed by now?
What?
Hasn't somebody, Joey? He was the last guy? Because I thought, when did Herbert get his?
Before Joe.
Wow. I know that. Okay.
Yeah, right. And I think the crazy thing is, I think he almost, I know he cracked 200 in guaranteed money. I think he started creeping up close. I know Deshaun's still at 235, but next quarterback, I think, is going to be up at Deshaun.
Yeah. By the way, for the next 3 years, Jimbo, 24, 2025, and 2026, Deshaun Watson's cap number is $63.9 million.
Holy heck, man.
Congratulations, Browns.
Man, dude's taking that to the bank. And isn't it crazy how Josh Dobbs, I mean, what what is he making this year? Like 800,000 or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, nothing. Peanuts.
Less than what Deshaun makes in a game, most likely. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but most likely.
No, you're right. And the crazy thing is, if you take out, he had a fantastic second half. But I'm going to take the larger sample size of what he's done all season into account, and not just the second half. I'm pretty sure Josh Dobbs would have play better in this offense. in the sudden, under the exact same circumstances. If you judge what he's done in Arizona, now in Minnesota, I think you could say he would have been overall the better. But obviously, with the paycheck, there ain't nobody beating him out for a job.
No. Could you imagine benching him?
Dude, 65 or 64 million sitting on your bench?
Holy crap. Makes Chris Davis look good.
Yeah, who's, by the way, still getting paid.
Man, when that, low-key, wouldn't that be nice, though, to be at home? Like,
dude, them deferred payments,
ain't check coming to mail yet.
Dude, deferred payments. Crazy.
Just sitting on the beach, like, some guy walks up with a silver platter with an envelope. Sir, right. Your Orioles payment for the year has been delivered.
That's
it's
right.
It's like, you know, I mean, millions of dollars. You're like, thank you. Yeah, oh, man.
No, I wouldn't even be nice to the butler. I'd be like, put it down and get away.
Shoo, peasant.
Go get me something else.
That's right. My drink is halfway empty.
That's right. I know you saw that. Fill it up.
Don't expect a tip. No, I mean, I'm just not nervous about this offense or obviously the defense. I don't think it's stylistically, I don't think it's a matchup on either end of the football that, look, I'll say it. The Cincy Jungle Boys are right to be scared. They just are. Right, and I tell you what, Glenn didn't do him any favors. Didn't make him feel good at all. Is there any fear or trepidation with the simple combination of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase? Like, is that something that you think about and you're like, crap, okay, maybe I should take... Not that I'm not taking this team more seriously, but I'm just superior. I have superior confidence that the Ravens simply execute. They will win this football game. But... Mm-hmm. You know, does Ja'Marr Chase still give you that, like, cause to pause, if you will?
Well, certainly with Marlon out there, if Marlon was out there, it'd be a whole different story. But with Marlon out, knowing we're going to have to rely on Rockiesen to a degree that we probably don't feel necessarily that comfortable. Same can be said with Darby. I mean, I know, you know, they feel really good about Brandon Stevens being out there. But I think Ja'Marr Chase, to me, is the guy in this game where you don't let that guy beat you. That's the one guy that you can't let beat you. If Tyler Boyd pulls some heroics, okay. But I'm putting Brandon Stevens on Tyler Boyd, and I'm saying that's your guy. Stick to him like glue. Hang on him like a pair of ass cheeks. Don't let that guy get anywhere away from you. And then you double-team Ja'Marr Chase. You keep a safety over the top. I don't care where he goes. You double-team him every single place he goes. You stop the big play. Because that's really a big concern is, will he run by one of our corners? And I guess the same could be said if Marlon was out there also, but I certainly would feel more comfortable if Marlon was guarding.
Well, I'll tell you what, Glenn, that rolls right into my defensive key to the game, which I'll provide to all of you in my infinite wisdom. No, just kidding. It is keep it all in front of you. We saw the Ravens do this, and we've seen the Ravens do this in the past against the Bengals, and make them work their way down the field, right? Like, make them earn it. I don't think that Joey is a dink and dunker like a Tom Brady, who is the best at dinking and dunking down the field, right? Like, this is not Joey's game. And I think they're susceptible to mistakes if you can make them that type of a team. I think their offense in most cases will stall. So I think they're overly dependent on the over-the-top stuff. Simply keep it in front of you. Like, I know this sounds elementary, but keep it in front of you, man. I keep all keep this stuff in front of you. And then I got to say this, tackle, right? Like, you remember when Ja'Marr ran for that, whatever, he like spun out of two guys and ran for that long play. So I think if the Ravens can simply keep the football in front of them defensively and not let it get over the top, then I think we're all right. And with that in mind, Glenn, my breakout player of the game probably had the quietest 21 tackles of anyone in history last week. I'm waiting for a fumble recovery, a sack fumble, an interception. I think that Roquan is going to go off this game. I think that you'll be able to hear, see, and feel the impact of his tackles way up in the upper deck of the bank. But I think he has an impactful player too, whether that manifests itself in a fumble, in a strip sack or an interception, but I think he has a huge game. I'm going Roquan for my breakout player of the game.
Nice. I like it. I think I think he just looks furious at what happened last game. And, you know, I understand why. It was probably, again, 0 seconds trailing, lost the game. Absolutely makes no sense. But I think that's a good one. I think keeping him in front of you, that is because Joe Burrow does not like being forced to nickel and dime his way down the field. He wants the big play. He wants the chunk yards. And Ja'Marr Chase has shown frustration when he isn't getting, you know, the targets and is big a part of game plan. We want all those things to come to light this weekend. By the way, somebody said that Ja'Marr Boyd had 117 yards last game. He had 52.
So I wonder if that was last year.
Maybe he's thinking of last year. Week two, 52 yards, 6 catches. All right, so for me, mine is I want the Ravens to keep Joe Mixon under 4 yards per carry. And the reason I say that is if you remember in the last matchup, I think a big missed opportunity for the Bengals is that they didn't run the ball enough. They only lost the game by 3 points. They threw the ball. Joe Burrow threw the ball 41 times. And they ran it as a team 15 times. So Joe Mixon had 13 carries, 59 yards. He averaged 4.5 per carry. I want that number. I want them to keep Joe Mixon under 4 yards per carry, because if they start, you know, getting 4 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, that means their third downs are going to be awfully short. And I need them to put Joe in long third down so we can get after his ass. And also, I don't want them to have any early success on the ground, because I want them to abandon the run game like they did last time. Because if they would have stuck to the run game, I think their offense would have been a lot more effective. And too often, that's a criticism of their coaching staff, that they get away too often and put the ball too much in the hands of Joe Burrow. So to me, keeping Joe Mixon under 4 yards of carry will allow them to completely abandon the run like they want to do anyway, and force Joe to beat us. And I like our chances with our defensive game plan as of late, limiting what they can do, especially with T. Higgins being out. Keep Mixon under 4. And then my breakout player, Geno Stone's getting another one.
Really?
Geno Stone's getting another one. He should have had one last week when Hamilton snatched it away from him.
And you know Joey's going to sit back there and launch him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's going to launch him. I think Geno's going to get his ass again.
I like it. Well, DK just wanted to clarify, the Boyd comment was in regard to the previous week, the Texans game.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that was a high scoring game. I think everybody went over 100 in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a.
Like it though, Glenn. I like your. Keep mixing. Look.
But I don't know how that applies. Like, how does what Tyler Boyd did to the Texans apply to. Like, I guess because he's got like a hot hand or something. But I mean, Chase had like 100 and some yards and a tutty. I mean, they went bonkers. So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, and I'll also say this. If the Ravens can execute both of our defensive keys to the game, could you imagine how much of an issue it would become? First of all, you can't run the football. Mm-hmm. And then you just eliminate the big play.
I literally think that's their game plan, Jim.
That's a long.
Like, we literally highlighted their exact game plan. I guarantee it.
No, you're right. I mean, if McDonald puts two things up on the board, it's going to be that, right?
And that shows with how they play. They don't let the big play. They make you, if the Bengals are going to beat us, they're going to have to do it on 12 play drives, baby.
Yep. I love it. All right. Well, I think it's about time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, buddy.
About time to get to our weekly competition. Of course, our weekly over-under competition, all of you guys can participate in. The way to do so is to watch the show as you're doing now, follow the over-unders, submit your answers using any of the social media handles above Glenn's head, or put a comment in this video after the video is done going live. Don't put in the chat, comment your video, and don't edit your comment. Make sure you put it in once, and if you want to change it, delete it, and then put it in again so the timestamps are accurate. All right, let's get into it. And of course, this competition would not be made possible without our faithful partner, BetUS. Guys, go have some fun with the friends, the boys, the significant other, the family, whoever, the girls. And have some fun on BetUS. They give you free money, right? So you go ahead and you put in up to $2,500. They're going to give you a match up to 125%. So not only 100% return of your money, they're going to give you some extra cash on top of it. Just go have some fun. They got prop bets, in-game bets, season-long bets, all kinds of bets on all kinds of sports. If football ain't your only thing and you want to play tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night, I'm sure they got a ton of NBA action as well. Mm-hmm. So look, use the link that exists in the description. Go to BetUS, use the promo code 410, and have some fun. It's an easy way for you to support us here at the show and for you guys to go out there and make some money. All right. Mm-hmm. All that being said, let's do it, DK.
All right. So the first over-under is Keaton Mitchell receptions plus carries. So the total amount of times he will touch the ball on offense, because he could end up being our primary kicker or punt returner. So only offensive touches for Keaton Mitchell. DK puts it at 9.5, just 4 touches last week. So Jimbo, will he have more or less than 9.5 offensive touches?
Yeah, I'm going under on this one. Even though I picked him as my breakout player, I don't think it takes 9.
Dang.
Yeah.
My man. Well, it hasn't needed to take that much to this point. No. Seems like as soon as he's in the game, he goes for a touchdown. So, wow. Okay. Breakout player, but under 9.5 touches. I agree, under. And the only reason I'm saying it is because I need to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say over, but man, am I hoping it's over 9 or 9.5. I hope I'm wrong on this one. But all three of us agree under as far as our predictions. So the good news is if I'm wrong, I can hope I'm wrong and I still won't lose to you guys. You know, it's called a win. Rarity. You don't see it very often.
Of the rarest kind.
That's right. That's right. I appreciate Lee Sand. People's chant. I love it. All right. Next.
Let's just hope the Ravens win. How about that, folks?
Well, again, win-win. You know,
we haven't had one of those yet. Not when Glenn wins, anyway.
No. So far, not going well. Number two over-under is Odell Beckham Jr. receiving yards. He had 40 last week. DK puts it at 30.5. Will he have more or less?
I'm going over. Over. This is my last minute change here.
Oh, I like it.
Going over. I think Odell gets over 30. And you know what, Glenn? I think he gets over 30 in the first half.
Dang.
Yep.
I like it.
That's right. Odell Beckham going over, baby.
All right.
What about
you? Right. All right. I'm going to say under. Now, the reason I'm going to say under, let's remember he had those 40 yards on a single catch.
That's all it takes. It's all it takes.
And I fully expect him to be, I think he's going to be the focus of their defense in those critical moments and allow Bateman, who is my key breakout player, to be the guy. So I think because of that, Bateman and Zay and others are the stars and he has less.
All right. Well, and there's the loss, ladies and gentlemen. DK also agrees with me, went over on this one. So, yeah, Glenn, you might fall behind.
You guys were wrong last week.
Remember that? Didn't we tie last week in total over-unders?
Oh, yeah, we did tiebreaker one. That's right. But DK didn't tie me, damn it.
No,
he got wrong zero, right? Near all of them.
All right, over-under number 3, Bengals passing yards. 225.5 yards. Last week, the Ravens gave up 195. Glenn, what say you, my friend?
What did I say? I don't even remember what I guessed.
I'm actually kind of surprised by your answer.
Oh, yeah. I said over.
Yeah.
Only because I think we will, like I said, render Joe Mixon ineffective, which will then put the ball in Joe Burrow's hands. And look. Yeah. DK talked about it in one of our pre-shows in the fourth quarter. Yeah, they might give up some trash yards and Joe Burrow might take advantage of some soft looks defensively until they get in the red zone. So I think he'll have 230 yards passing, but it'll be, as you say, Jimmy, a bunch of empty calories.
Yeah, man. Such a bunch of white rice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Come on, guys. No, I actually agree with you. I think it's going to be over simply because they aren't really committed to running the football. To begin with. Number two, once they get down, they're going to be less committed to running the football. So I think I still think it's going to be a long night, even though 225 for Joe is like a healthy number. I think that it's not going to, it's not going to look that way on the field. What about you, DK? What did you say? You said over. So we all agreed. All right.
Right. You average 226 on the season. So this is a good number. Let's see here. Bengals third down efficiency. Interesting. So he posted at 66%.
Let me just say this now.
Okay.
There's a better chance. There's a what? How's it go? There's not a snowball's chance in hell. Is that how it goes?
There you go. That's it.
No way on 2/3 of their third downs are they converting.
Yeah, no. Heck no.
Not a chance, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going under on this one.
Yeah, I mean, look, the way I look at it, for their season, they averaged 37% conversion rate, and the Ravens averaged giving up 34%. So, no, I don't think they'll double what they normally do on each side.
DK was trying to get us on this one.
I don't know what he was up to, but this one was one of those sneaky ones.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we all said under. Understand.
Yeah, you ain't getting on that one, DK. I know what you're trying to pull.
Yeah, man. He's up to some shenanigans. Mm-hmm. All right, next, our over-under, our last over-under is the score. He puts it at 45.5 total points. And Jimbo, I'm going to say it now. It's going to go under the total, okay? Mm-hmm. I said over when I was on the Cincy Jungle.
Mm, okay.
But I'm switching it up here, okay? I'm going to go under, and it's like I always say, I think they're just not bringing up their end of the bargain here. I think the Ravens do their part. I think they get the 24, but I think the Bengals can only muster 20 points, and that puts us at 44. So for that reason, I say under.
Yeah, I like that as well. I'm going under. I'm going to take that scratch. The reason I'm going under is because I think the Ravens defense is ready to put on a dominant performance. So even if the offense, who I think we're predicting will play very well this game and put up points, like I think the offense is not going to leave much to be desired. But I think this defense is going to be absolutely smothering. In the bank on a Thursday night, crowd's going to be wild. I'm going under on this one as well. DK also went under, correct, DK? Oh, you went over? Let's see. Yeah, DK went over. All right, my bad.
That could be his moment right there. That could be it. All right, let's go to the final tiebreaker, which, ladies and gentlemen, last week it came down to the final tiebreaker, which is, of course, total yards for the Ravens. It's a closest to the pin part of our competition. You don't have to worry about going over. This is not the Price is Right. It's simply the closest number to the actual total for the Ravens. Now, Jimbo, I gotta let you know you're in a bit of a tough spot here.
Yeah, that's okay though. I'm not worried about it.
Now, let me say this: I put mine in first.
Yeah, you did. I put mine in last. I put myself in this position.
So you have no one to blame. I say we get 315 yards. DK says 385. What do you say, Jimbo?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to come out right in the middle of 335. I mean, not exactly in the middle between the two of you, but simply this, I'm going to be the most accurate. Like, that's just, so put it wherever you want. You guys can put yourself in any situation you want. I'm just.
I just want to let you know, you gave yourself a 34-yard window.
That's all I need.
You can win.
I only need two.
You have between 326 and 360 is what you need to win. Anything beyond that, DK wins. Anything below that,
Telling me I got a whole 34 yards to get wrong?
That's it. That's your window. But I have a window of 325.
Yeah, well,
that's a pretty good window.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a larger handicap.
I mean, really, the window for DK is endless because they could score. They could have 1,000 yards in this game. We just don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true.
We just do not.
But
know.
I think I feel good about my number. Lamar racks up 280. And then Snoop comes in, does the rest, you know.
Well, Assad agrees with you. He's calling it now. He says it's a blowout, and it's an O-way statement game.
I like this. I like this, Assad.
Dude, he was this close from getting the what they call it, the lion spike. He almost closed the game out last week with that strip sack that they ultimately jumped on.
He did.
But he was this close to being our closer, like he was in our you know, when we saw
Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So, look, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, this is going to be a wild game. Enjoy it. Get your popcorn out. Have fun with the family. I don't know who. Okay, there we go. But that's all for us tonight, folks. Have a great evening. We'll see you back tomorrow night. That's right. Back-to-back-to-back shows. So we'll be here. Make sure to tune in right after the game. We'll be here to break down all things Baltimore Ravens. Have a great night.
See you.